Starting at verse 26. Amen. Wait till they get up on the screen. All right. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, and I must decrease. So the title of my message today is, When Less is More. When Less is More. If you could bow your heads one more time with me. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, we ask that you accept our praise and worship. Lord, I pray right now that you return to us a word of encouragement, of insight, of depth, Lord, that will be a seed that will be planted in our souls. We thank you right now, Lord, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, when less is more. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That sounds strange. When less is more. Doesn't seem to make much sense when less can be more. But in talking about this person, John the Baptist, this is the answer to the problem. John the Baptist was a very special and unique individual. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He was specially chosen by God to be the forerunner for Christ. He was the voice in the wilderness, preparing for the first coming, preaching the gospel of repentance, proclaiming a message of repentance. He said, Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And in fact, according to Jesus, and this is amazing, he says he was one of the greatest men ever born. In Matthew 11:11, Jesus says, Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus was saying that of all the people who had been born up to that point, there was not one person who was greater than John the Baptist. That's such an amazing statement. The greatness of John the Baptist was actually not in the crowds that he drew. The Bible said that they came out from all of the cities surrounding Jerusalem and all of the coast to come to see him. He wasn't in town. He was way out. He was out by the Jordan River. He was almost into the wilderness. And yet he had this powerful message that drew crowds all the way out there. But that was not the secret of his greatness. It wasn't even the fact of the humble way he dressed. The Bible says that he dressed in camel hair, in the garb of a prophet, and he was a wild-looking man. But that was not the secret of his greatness. It wasn't the fact that he had this great message even. It wasn't even the fact that Jesus recognized him as being one of the greatest men that ever lived. All of that was true, but that was not the secret of his greatness. In fact, John's secret of his greatness was that he knew something. He knew something that a lot of us sometimes forget. We are still in this flesh. We are still human beings. We are just men. In Mark chapter 1, verse 7, we see him acknowledge the fact that all the things that were said about him, all the things that he had accomplished in preaching and baptizing maybe thousands of people, was nothing to what was coming. He said in Mark 1, 7, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down unloose. You see, one of the keys to John's understanding of salvation was that he had to decline. He was not all that. He was not it. Here, he had to have something coming that was going to decrease his ministry. And this is the key to what I'm trying to tell you today, that we have to become less so Jesus can be more and more inside of our lives, inside of our families, inside of our workplace, inside of our schools. Whenever we think we are it and we have all the answers, that's when we are actually blocking the Spirit of God from using us. We need to decrease and he must increase. That's what John realized. That was the secret of his greatness, because he understood that nothing can come of just my smarts, of my intelligence, of my knowledge, of my skills, of my talents, because unless it's given to Christ, it will come to nothing. He must increase and I must decrease. This is the message that I want to get for you today, that whatever you think you have to let Christ come in and have more of it. You need to be willing to give of your whole life, your whole body, all your ambition, all your determination to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because that's the only way it will become more. Amen. It's the only way it will become more. We hear the story of the little lad who had the five loaves and two fishes. It was nothing, not even barely a meal for himself. But by giving it to Jesus, the thing that was less became more. As Jesus took it, as he prayed over it, and it multiplied. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you want God's blessing, if you want to have success, if you want to have deliverance, you have to stop being all of you and let him being more of him inside of you. You need to become more like Christ. We need to become more like Christ. We need to understand this truth, that it just doesn't happen accidentally. It's not coming to church that makes you a Christian. See, all the things that John was given, was blessed with, that Jesus spoke about him, all the crowds that he was able to draw, he must have been a magnetic speaker. He must have had what the world calls charisma. He was able to speak and people were able to come. And mind you, he was not doing miracles. It was just the message that he was speaking. It was just the Holy Ghost filled message. But he knew a secret, that he must decrease for Christ to increase. I'm trying to tell you something, that when we pray, when we ask God's deliverance, when we ask for God's blessing, the reason why we're not getting success is because we are too full of us. We have got to be converted, and we have got to grow into his image. When you're on the road, people should not see me. People should see the image of Christ. They should see something in me that they desire. I should have such a glow on my face. I should have a kick in my step. You know why? Because I'm a child of the King. He is my Father. He loves me, and he has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Now, if that doesn't bring a smile to your face, you haven't got it yet. You don't believe it, because what it means is you're thinking about you instead of him. We need to understand something here, that we will never fulfill God's plan for our life if it's all about us. We have to have this message that we got to decrease. How will they see Jesus in you if it's you that's always out there? They should see a change in our lifestyle. There should be a message on our face that says, I love you. Now, that's not easy, because some people aren't that lovable. But you see, Jesus' image was that he went among the poor, the people who were outcasts, the publicans and the sinners, and he preached a message of love. That's not what we want to do. We want to cross the other side when we see some people coming, because we are still about us. We haven't learned to decrease us and increase him. Hallelujah. It's time for us to understand that if we want the blessing of God, we have to decrease, and he has to increase in our life. Amen. In Romans 8, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, I know that all of us, probably tomorrow morning, we got a whole week, and we don't even think about all the things we got to take care of, all the bills we got to pay, all the people we got to deal with, the workplace, all the stuff we got to overcome this week. See, if we just dwell on that all the time, we will never be successful, because that's all what the flesh depends on. That's all what the flesh is feeding. We need to start living in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you become so spiritual that you're no earthly good. That doesn't mean you stop paying your bills. But you have a smile on your face, even if it's your last dime, because Jesus has promised to provide my need. See, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, when they first saw the food appear on the ground, you know, they thought, well, he did it once, but he won't do it again. Let me go and get all I can. And that's how we are. We will not depend on God to give us our daily bread, because it's all about us. What can I do for me? It's me, I, and myself. But God is telling us that if we want to be great in the kingdom, we must decrease so that he can increase. Hallelujah. That's what the message is today. It's a simple message. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, when it's too much for us is only when we come to him. But imagine if we were to give it to him first, how much more he could do with it. You see, it's so much the flesh, because when we see people who already got them pegged, we start judging by what we see. We haven't met the person, but we've already put them in a slot. You see, that tells me we have not yet become Christ-like. That tells me that we are still in the flesh. We start to speak about people. We gossip. We judge, not willing to turn the other cheek. Because if we're truly Christ-like, that's what we'll do. As much as we want to fight, as much as we would like to show how big and bad we are, that's not what Christ is about. He said to his disciples, I didn't come to destroy men, but to save their souls. If we get into the argument with the person at work who's getting on our last nerve, how can we next invite them to church? Think about that. Okay, and now would you like to come to my church where there's peace, joy, and love? See, we are supposed to be his image. His image. The person who's getting on your last nerve is the person you need to love the most. And pray and smile sweetly. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't have to fight our battles. All we have to do is be his image. We need to pray, Lord, I need to decrease. Take away more of my flesh, more of my, you know, getting the fists ready. Right? I need to put that temper down. I need to put that flesh down because it will kill me. I need to let him increase in me. I'm telling you the secret to getting your prayers answered. I must decrease and he must increase. The more Christ-like you are, the more God can use you, the more dominion he can flow through you. You know, it's just like a spigot. The little bit you open it up, that's the dribble you're going to get. The more you open up, the more the flow will. If you turn it all the way open, that pool will fill. God will be able to do the maximum through you. But if it's so much about us and our control, well, Lord, that's too much. I think I need to turn that down. See, John the Baptist's greatness was in recognizing that he was still flesh. No matter how great a man he was, the scripture goes on to say that he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. That's where I want to be. I want to be Christ-like. I want to make sure that I am nothing and he is everything. That's where we are called to. Sometimes it's hard to be Christ-like. What you really want to do is give him a piece of your mind and tell him where to get off. And all the other things. But would Jesus do that? Remember that bracelet, what would Jesus do? Now I know there was a time when he got a whip. And he did turn over the tables. But that was because it was the zeal for the house of the Lord. Now if you want to get a whip and come in here and turn over the tables and clean this place, have at it. Amen? If you want to have some zeal that way for the house of the Lord, that won't be a problem. Come in here anytime. There's lots of stuff that can be done. Amen? That's what God has called us to. We have to let this flesh decrease. Because unless we do that, God cannot flow through us. So many times we are in our flesh instead of in the Spirit. In the flesh, but not in the Spirit. Romans 8:8, the verse that goes on says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is why our prayers are not answered, because we have not really provided a Christ-like image. We have not really said, less of me, God, more of you. But instead, we want to do like Saul said to David when he came, listen, put on my armor. You're going to fight Goliath? Put on my armor. That's the armor you need. And, you know, David, at first, because it was the king, he started to put on Saul's armor. Then he realized, wait a minute, This isn't how I'm going to fight. I can't fight like this. I have to take what worked for me before. And he said, you come in the name of your God, Goliath, but I come in the name of the Lord. See, when we put Christ as our outward face, Satan has got to flee. If we put our face, it doesn't matter if you, as they say, mean mug, he's not scared of you. That's right. Somebody taught me that. But I tell you who he is scared of, Jesus. The Bible says that those who see him are going to be transformed because we shall see him as he is. And we are going to be as he is. And you know, the process starts now. The more of Christ you are now, the more the devil's going to flee from you. He cannot stand the Christ-like image. He cannot stand someone who is truly standing up, because he says you submit to God. And then you can resist Satan. But when we present our face, I'm afraid he's not scared of that. He's seen that. He knows how to deal with human flesh. He knows how to tempt you. He knows how to get under your skin. He knows your hot buttons. He knows how to make you sin. But if you say, there's none of me in here, you can't hold on to me. See, the things we hold on to, you know, right now, I don't know what's your most valuable thing in your house. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your house. Maybe one of you's got some diamonds somewhere. Maybe some of you've got some money stashed under the mattress. But I tell you this, whatever you have that you invest in, that's where Satan can get to you. He knows how to hurt you. He knows how to get you fearful. But when you have nothing, that's why Jesus told the disciples one time when they were going, I don't want you to take any script. That was their word for money. I can imagine their faces when he said, but how are we gonna survive? The only thing you really need to take is Jesus. You see, I know it's getting quiet because a Christ-like image means trust. A Christ-like image means total dependence on God. A Christ-like image means when you have no other means but to trust in God. You see, years and years ago, the reason why they had so many miracles is because they couldn't afford to go to the doctor. What choice did they have but to trust? Their only dependency was on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we get to be like John the Baptist and we say, he must increase and I must decrease, that's when less will become more. You'll have more of Christ. You'll have more success. Your prayers will be more powerful. The victories you'll have will be bigger. The deliverances you'll have will be greater. But when we try and do it in ourselves, that's when we fall flat on our faces. Hallelujah. See, most of the time we're asking God the wrong question. Lord says to Solomon, ask me anything you want and I'll give it to you. Solomon thought about this and he said, you know what? I'm too stupid to be king. These people are so great. I don't know enough to be king. I'm a young man. I really have no wisdom to be king. And he asked the right question. Lord, give me wisdom. You know, if God asked us anything, I wonder how many of us would ask for wisdom. I think a lot of us would ask for Benjamin Franklin. See, once we understand that he is more precious than gold, that having God with you is better than the riches of this world. Because whatever you have now that you can hold on to, it is going to decay. Soon as you buy a brand new car off the lot, you go 10 paces, it's worth $2,000 less. You turn around and say, I want to sell it back. They say, well, now that's a problem. That's an issue. You see, nothing in this world holds its value. The Bible says it's only the invisible things that are eternal. It's only the invisible things that are internal. You know, the greatest invisible thing is love, the love of God. That he came down to earth and he was able to change our lives. Hallelujah. On Monday, I think it was only my second funeral. And one of the things I talked about was books. Books. We're writing a book right now. And you know who's going to read it? One day we're going to have to stand before God. And the Bible says the books were opened. I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And I told the people that were there that her book is finished. She's written the last chapter, but we get to write another page tomorrow morning. We get to write a fresh page. The story isn't ended for us. And most of us would like to have our book end the way the fairy tale goes, and they lived happily ever after. But see, that depends on how you're writing your book. And your book is going to be read. The Bible says, and the books were opened. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before the white throne, and the books were open. We have an opportunity to write a new story and say, Lord, you be Lord of my life. You be King of every decision. I acknowledge you in everything I do. That's our topic this month, is being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit, to listen to the Word of God. I told the Sunday school class, you know, most of us are looking for some voice from heaven who will call our name.
Listen to me.
We want that big voice to come and speak to us. And I said, you know, God isn't going to do that. You know why? Hold up your Bible. Those of you who have a Bible or your phone, wherever you got your Bible. He has spoken to you already. His word is written down. And until you have eaten all of that, he's not going to put any more food on your table. He's speaking to you now, not me, but the words that I speak in John 6:63. They said they are spirit and they are life. If you could stand with me. We need to ask ourselves, what is first in our life? What's my number one priority? Who is my number one priority? See, if he is not your number one priority, you're already in bad shape. The thing is, the things that we are holding on to and we think as a sacrifice are nothing. The Bible says, ear hath not heard, nor eye seen what God has got prepared for those that love him. But it's just been revealed through faith by the Spirit. We can't see streets of gold right now. We can't see a crystal throne right now. We can't touch those things. But nevertheless, one day, those who have endured to the end are going to see those things in their own eyes. Job said, one day I know that in my own flesh I will see my Redeemer, because I know my Redeemer liveth. If you want a key to success this week, meditate upon that. I must decrease, he must increase. Speak to yourself and say those words tomorrow. Lord, let me decrease and you increase. Because if we fulfill that, suddenly, we will allow the Spirit of God to flow through us. I'm telling you why some things are not happening in your life. The Lord gave me this, and I'm declaring it right now. So I want you to really listen to what I'm saying. I'm not speaking just because it was my turn to preach. I'm giving you something here right now. I hope you're listening. This is from the Holy Spirit. If we will decrease ourselves, God will be able to flow through us. We've been talking last month about the gifts. You want the gift to manifest? Allow God room in your heart. As I've said so many times, he says, I stand at the door and knock. God will not override your will. You have to invite him. You have to say, yea, Lord, please, please, I want you in my life. I am desperate for you to make the decisions. I submit the dominion you gave me back to you so that you can order my steps. Whenever we do that, the gifts that we talked about last month will start to manifest. The reason why they are not is because we are still too much of us. No matter how great a man John the Baptist was, he was still a man. That's why the scripture says, nevertheless, Matthew 11:11, he or she that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Do you understand what he was saying? He was talking about spirit-filled, born-again believers. You know who that is? That's you and me. He was saying that he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. But that will only be fulfilled if we really speak to ourselves and say, I must decrease. Lord, take away my self-will. The things that I think I want to do, the things I keep telling you I want instead of asking you. Imagine if 90% of our prayer was, Lord, what do you want? Instead of, Lord, what I want. Imagine if you could pray, Lord, what is your will? Tell me what to do today. Who should I speak to? Who should I pray for? Who should I encourage? Who should I call? Who should I text and tell them God loves them? Imagine if that was our prayer instead of, Lord, here's my list. I want, I want, I want, I want. Because he already knows what you need, so you're not telling him anything. Instead, be a God pleaser and ask God, how can I please you today? You know, when you go to a bank or a store or a shop, they're taught rules of service. And the first thing they say when you come in is, how may we help you? Because they're there to provide a service. God wants to use every single one because you are his hands, his feet, his mouth. And he's just waiting for someone to say, Lord, I want to decrease so that you can increase. See, we are finite. So we have to make room in our heart for God. We have to be like John and acknowledge that there is one coming that is greater than I. Lord, I want you to use me. If that's our prayer today, God will fulfill it. But we need to tell ourselves, Lord, I need to decrease. Decrease my will, my anger, my temper, my bad mouth, my bad thoughts. Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. That our mind has to be transformed. The more we're like Christ, that's when the miracles will be fulfilled. That's when things will happen. Because we're only letting a little spigot of the power flow, that's all that's flowing. But when we truly say, Lord, no matter how great he was, he realized, I must decrease. I'm still a man. Even though he was related to Jesus, he could claim, I'm kith and kin with Jesus. He realized, I got to decrease. I got to decrease so that he can increase. These altars are open. We're going to pray. And I want you to take this message. I want you to meditate upon it this week. And just tell the Lord, Lord, please help me to decrease. All the things that are stopping you flowing through me, of reaching my potential, of you using me to the fullest, let those things decrease. And if we pray that prayer honestly, God is going to start using us such that we have never, ever believed. You know, we're in last days. We are in last days, and God is desperately looking for some people. He said in Ezekiel, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap. You know why? Because he couldn't find anyone who would be willing to let them be used by God. All the things that are so much us. Should I tell you something else? And I'm trying to close, but the more we get like Christ, the less there will be differences between us. Because if all I can see is Christ in you and all you can see is Christ in me, that's awesome. Jesus said that they may be one, even as we are one. That means we are actually going to be transformed to be like Jesus. And it's differences that create arguments. And if we both look like Jesus and act like Jesus and present Jesus, there's nothing to argue about. All there can be is manifestation. See, Jesus said he came to bring many sons, to birth many sons. He came to show what a son of God looks like, to reproduce a son of God. I am done, but I just want you to understand today that when John said, he must increase, but I must decrease, that's a powerful statement. what he was saying is, I submit everything I am to you, Lord, because you are the Lord. I want you to be master of my life. I want you to have full dominion. And when you do that, there is going to be an explosion, because that's all God is waiting for. Truly, that's all he's waiting for. He will fill you to the overflow. He said there will be rivers, 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 rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. But that will only happen if we open the spigot of our will and let God take over. If you could bow your head. Father, we just thank you right now for your word, for your anointing.